Welcome to Rusak Gamers.
Welcome back to the Rusak Gamers podcast, and this is episode 54 as we continue our side trip through the Dresden Files RPG. This time we dive headlong into character creation. Now, when I get a second chance to run a Dresden game, I'm going to make sure that everyone knows ahead of time what the templates are. This episode is another example of why more than one person should know the licensed property in this sort of game. I shudder to think of how a GM would approach a Game of Thrones RPG with none of the players having read even one of the books, or even seen the TV show. Now, some other quick business. Please head over to rpgpodcast.com and take part in this year's RPG Podcast Survey. This helps the RPG community get an idea of podcast listener demographics. I know it's not scientific, it's only representative of those who respond. Just please give us a hand by filling out the short questionnaire. Now, it took me less than 5 minutes. Just don't forget to list the Rusak Gamers as one of the podcasts you listen to. You can also leave us questions, comments, and general feedback on our voicemail, 502-4141-RU, that's 502-4141-7666. You can also use our email address, roy@rusakgamers.com. And don't forget to drop by our rpgcrosstalk.com forum. Just scroll down to the Rusak Gamers section. Links to these sites, our archives, and more can be found at podcast.rusakgamers.com. Enjoy the show.
But yeah, Goose Island, mild winter. It's pretty tasty. Mm-hmm. I got some others up there called Cease and Desist.
Okay.
They're good.
Reminds you of the Saturday night you spent in Chicago, right?
No. That Saturday night I was with my wife, and my wife is pretty straight-laced, so we did not end up in jail. Besides, it was right after she ran a marathon, so.
A little tired?
A little sleepy. A little sleepy.
Give me some of the templates.
Here's the templates.
Oh, okay.
Mortal.
Okay.
Champion of God. Changeling. Emissary of Power. Focused Practitioner. Knight of Fey Court. Lycanthrope.
Lycanthrope will be difficult to do.
Okay. Minor Talent. Red Court Infected.
That'll be difficult to do.
Sorcerer is off the table.
Why?
Too expensive.
Oh.
True Believer. Wear Form. White Court Vampire.
Oh, sorry. Wear Form is too difficult to do. Lycanthrope you can actually do.
White Court Virgin.
White Court Vampire is off the table.
I think. Wizard.
It's also too expensive.
Wizard is too expensive. White Court Virgin means you just haven't killed anybody with your... As a vampire yet. And so there's still a possibility for you to become human.
Mm.
What's a must?
You have to take it.
I got that, but it says must. A true believer must have a high concept that speaks to the strength of his or her abiding faith in a higher power or other similar construct. Example, man of God or Zen nut. So is that
Zen
the high concept?
Nut,
sorry. Is that the high concept or is that the must?
The must,
yes.
The must is your high concept must talk about your religious belief. Because your high concept is also an aspect which can be used in the game.
Right.
Okay.
So that aspect must reflect your true belief.
What have you got as a... I'm Roy.
I'm Todd.
Doug.
Bill.
Joe.
Jason.
And we're doing character creation tonight. Doug.
Maybe I have the must and the high concept backwards. I mean, I thought my high concept originally was like priest who runs a soup kitchen. Is that a high concept or no?
No.
It's getting there.
Okay. So this says man of God. So man of God.
That's
servant
an example.
Of the people. Yes, I realize that. But man okay. of God, servant of the people. That's a high concept?
Servant of the people, I can see that. That being a high concept.
You can add
servant of the poor.
But adding man of God there, that's fine, because that's specifically saying, at least in our table, it's specifically saying, He's a believer, a Christian believer, serving the people.
Well, say well, God, that doesn't mean that he's a Christian.
At this table, he's either a Christian or a Jew. Do you speak Hebrew?
Oy vey.
Mazel tov.
Mazel tov. Okay, so...
Just call me Moyle.
Man of God, servant of the people. That's the high concept?
Just call me Moyle?
Tide understands.
Snip.
No, we need to cut that one short.
No.
Oh,
there was
sushi? Hey, hey, these are good tips for our listeners.
Yeah, a great tip.
Is that calamari? Is that a ring of calamari?
No, no, it's not.
There was when they came out with Dr. Horrible Sing Along Vlogs, when they were coming out with the DVD version of it.
Got it.
They put a contest out there saying, tell us what kind of evil character you would be. And one of the best ones was a guy who was called the Moyle, and he had the 10 minions spelled a little differently, but it has to do with Hebrew tradition. And he made his video of him cutting the tops off them. like
asparagus.
No. Think much bigger. Like the Washington Monument. The Empire State Building.
Okay, so my high concept is man of God, servant of the people?
Sure.
So what's a must then?
That is your must. You must have that as your high concept. You could not simply have as your high concept guy who runs soup kitchen.
Okay, so must is strong high concept. I don't have to put anything under must. I don't have anything to fill in.
That is part
square.
Of that. Well, you just put in high concept. You just in the must, you can say high concept.
Okay, good.
Okay, what is a red cord?
Hold on. Additionally, you must have, true believers must take the following supernatural powers.
Yeah, I wrote that down on the page. Bless this house, guide my hand.
So those are also musts. Okay. Our starting refresh rate, if I remember correctly, is six. So now, if Doug, if you don't do anything else to your character sheet, you have a refresh of four.
Great.
Okay.
And I've got a beer of one.
Couple questions?
Yes, sir.
Red cord infected, is that one of the no-nos?
What is the refresh on it? What is the...
Refresh cost? -3.
-3. Might be able to do it then.
I don't know what...
Okay. Well, it means we're starting at 6. As long as you don't have 7, you're fine.
Oh, okay.
Actually, as long as you don't have 6, you're fine. You need to start with a positive number.
Okay. So I couldn't do that one because that's a negative number then.
No. You start off with 6 fate, a refresh of 6.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And those numbers are subtracting from the 6.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Everybody has 6. Doug has 6. He has 2 musts on there. Each one is a -1. So now his refresh is a 4.
Okay.
Okay. Which means he could still add powers. But if he still adds powers, he has a lower refresh. And if you have a lower refresh, refresh means how many fate points you get at a refresh point.
Oh, okay.
Like the start of the game. The start of the game is a default refresh. And you would get, right now, Doug would get 4 fate points.
In your face.
Which is good for Doug, because Doug has some powers. And in order to tap those powers, you have to use a fate.
So, for example, say Champion of God has a minimum refresh cost of -5.
Right. You could do that.
You got one,
it's very tough.
Okay.
But here's the other thing, though.
You'd have to screw yourself at every
chance. You want yourself to get screwed over at every chance you can get in order for you to get fate.
Oh, okay.
You can earn fate by screwing yourself.
Yes. In fact, I'm supposed to do that. It's called compel.
But you can suggest ways to compel yourself too, right? Like in strands.
I don't know. I think I just killed Bill down there. It's when Bill finds something funny, he holds it in.
No, it's just the power of Roy compels you.
All right, on that. I'll see you on next week.
Just ran Jason out of the game.
That's right.
We'll come.
come in next week, he's going to have a black priest outfit and go, welcome.
Power of Christ compels thee. Alright.
Okay, so, example.
Uh-huh.
Going back to the Champion of God.
Uh-huh.
Champions of God must have a fairly high conviction score.
Right.
Good or higher recommended. In addition, Champions of God must take the following supernatural powers, and there's four of them. Negative one, right. Negative one, negative one, and negative two.
Right. That's where you get the minus five.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. In the books, the Champion of God, one of the Champions of God is... Actually, he's a Knight of the Cross, not necessarily a Champion of God. It's Michael Carpenter. It's really... He's a great character in the books. Easily one of the favorite characters in the books. Of course, he's got a big sword with a nail from the crucifixion.
Well, and here's the thing. Knights of the Cross carry one of the swords of the cross in addition to the above.
Right.
So...
Which would make their negative larger.
Negative eight at that point.
Yeah.
And that's too much.
Yes.
Okay.
At the setting we're going for, yeah. Yes. You guys aren't supposed to be running around, you know, killing demons right off the bat.
Okay.
Right off the bat.
Well, there is advancement.
So for my troubled aspect, is ghouls eat my followers acceptable?
Think so, especially if they're specifically tailing you to find people to eat.
Well, it's supposed to be recurring and something you can jump on. I think ghouls eat my followers. Counts.
Now, it actually follows out pretty well because you're running a soup kitchen, which means you are catering to a large population of homeless,
unwashed masses who aren't missed.
Yeah,
I eat ghoul food.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
No, I think that's pretty good.
So what are you, true believer? Is that what you said?
True believer.
True believer. He's a true believer. Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to tell us your concept?
Take two. Well, I haven't phrased the high concept.
Okay.
Sentence the way
okay.
The way you want would it. Like to hear it. I
can't think of it. But what was your
basically
template again?
It's the observer of the change, or entropy's witness, or whatever. I want to do emissary power.
Okay.
That power being time itself.
All right.
The whole paradox concept of the fact that it's not real unless it's seen. And when time needs something to be real, one of its emissaries witnesses what's going on.
Kind of like a Marvel-style watcher by proxy.
Kind of, sort of.
Fringe!
Yeah.
The well-suited observers in observer. Fringe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I'm also slightly crazy because I can sense the future and see the past.
Fringe!
Yeah. Which I've never actually seen.
It's a great show, really.
Oh, it's a good show.
First season's a little slow, but it really does pick up.
But the first season has so much important background information
in
it, though.
And it's fun on the more recent episodes where all that stuff comes back.
Yeah.
It's like the guy in the airplane that turned into the porcupine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Porcupine monster. That was really cool.
Well,
I was like, oh, I remember that!
And the first season is when you're introduced to the whole concept of...
fringe science.
Well, when they get introduced to... what do they call it? Amber. To Amber.
Oh, yeah.
When you first find out about it, and you think it's a weapon, you don't understand what it is, and then as you go through, you find out what it really is all about, and it's even more horrifying.
Yeah. And Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
Actually looks copper.
Mm-hmm.
In the other world.
And they travel by Zeppelin.
They travel by Zeppelin.
So, copper doesn't ossify in the other world?
We're not exactly sure.
They don't talk about it.
They don't talk about it. It's just, that's one of the key visual aspects. You know you're in the other dimension because they're in New York. Everything takes place around New York. So the Statue of Liberty is copper looking and the Twin Towers are still there.
Or there's Zeppelins in the sky.
Or there's Zeppelins.
Or the Zeppelins disappear.
Or there's amber everywhere.
Yeah. On the other side.
On the other side, there's amber all over the place. Okay, so Bill's going to be a emissary of time. Does time speak to you? Or do you just get an idea where you need to be?
Your last name has to be Surly.
No, my last name is Duport.
Is what?
Duport.
Duport.
Duport. Except I'm not pronouncing the T.
Yeah. I got that. Okay. Cool. Joe!
Well, I don't have all the particulars worked out yet.
That's fine.
My guy's name is Mortimer Townsend. You can call him Mort. He is a bartender.
He's the salt of the earth.
No good.
Huh?
Is that stupid?
What?
Oh.
No.
What, the name? Oh, okay. No, okay. It's, right, salt, Mort, it's salt of the earth.
So Mort, or Morty, if you prefer.
Mortimer.
Mort's, he's a minor talent, and his ability is he can speak to the dead. Ghosts. Dead spirits.
Was it actually one of the powers?
Yes, Ghost okay. Whisperer. And I'm trying to think of his high concept, and I'm thinking, like, reluctant ghost speaker bartender. I don't know.
So he doesn't want to be talking to the ghosts?
I think at this point, because the idea is that, you know, he probably... This has been going on a while, and I need to come up with the reason why something probably tragic happened in his childhood or something.
Yeah, it had to be tragic.
Yeah, or something that shocked him. Or you
yeah,
know,
I mean, it doesn't have to. It's just all of a sudden you're talking to ghosts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if that happened, suddenly you would find yourself in some mental institution.
Only if you told people.
Right. Okay.
Your parents could have. Your parents could think it's just your imaginary. Air quotes, imaginary friend.
Yeah, maybe at some point you realized other people couldn't see him. So instead of realizing they're there, maybe you realize, he has no idea who I'm talking to.
I think at this point in time, it's just kind of something he's had to deal with.
All right.
And
are they asking you to do things for them?
I don't know.
It's up to you. I mean, ghosts in the Dresden verse, ghosts tend to be like an the ghosts are generally an imprint of the person, not necessarily their actual spirit, but an imprint that feels that it has to be there for some reason.
So no new thoughts, just like an echo.
Yeah,
they all have unfinished business, and they think you're the guy to do it.
One ghost
come and asking you for them.
One ghost character was a woman who I forget what the tragedy was, but it had something to do with her child. Or a child who was in her care. And what she would do is she would haunt hospitals. And she would show up at the hospital and there would all of a sudden there would be these deaths that they attributed to sudden infant death syndrome, but it was this ghost. Mm-hmm. And that's what she did over and over. I mean, ghosts tend to do the same things over and over. Yes. Todd.
I'm looking at two of these.
Uh-huh.
Let me bounce these off of you.
Sure.
First one was a red cord infected.
Uh-huh.
Which I like the idea of talking about. I mean, it's essentially a kind of a vampire with a thing living inside of him.
Yeah, you have your demon living inside of you. Right. You're keeping at bay by not killing.
And it says, if they're particularly lucky, they may find their way to the Fellowship of St. Giles.
Yes.
A secret organization bent on destroying the Red Court, which holds some of the stuff in check by magical tattoos. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, in the book, what happens is when you start getting close to the edge, your tattoos start
glowing red.
Glowing red.
Mm-hmm.
They start changing color.
I like that. But then I listen to Bill. Talking about an emissary of time.
That's always a dangerous thing, listening to me.
I know. And I thought, what would be neat is that he's an emissary of time, and I'm an emissary of space.
Alright, how would that work?
Meaning, and I thought, okay, well, what does that mean?
Depends on which philosophy you go by, because time-space is one entity.
Exactly, and that's what I'm saying, is
as
that
well as entropy.
We're kind of the yin and the yang of each other. And then... space would be dimensional space, too. Think of it that way, is that there's multiple universes existing at the same time in our little universe that we have right here.
I'll be honest, I have an understanding of a physical manifestation of time.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea of a physical manifestation of space.
Space, I mean, as far as what a power would be, is that what you're trying to think of?
Yeah, or? like God, like Shiva, like Odin, mm-hmm. like Loki, these are all powers. The Fae Queens,
mm-hmm.
the Summer Court, I mean, the Fae Kings, actually.
Pull up your old Mark. That's me. Pull up...
That's terrible.
I know, tell me about it. Oh,
wow.
Pull up your old Marvel and think of the character Eternity.
Eternity?
Yeah. And that's kind of...
With the big horn?
Yeah, the big horns and a half look.
The universe inside
yeah.
of him.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm thinking of space there that, like, he might be walking through a room and then to get to the outside of the wall, he actually twists to another dimension where the wall's not there, walks to the other side, twists back, and then he's back in there. But again... I don't know if that's going too far. I don't know how far you want to get into this. I do
Tenure thing, we'll come back to it.
All right.
Okay. Jason.
I was looking at the changeling.
Okay.
I like the, what is it, the Unseelie Court?
Uh-huh.
But I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's just the summer and the winter Fae Courts. So what kind of powers did you look at? You know, strength, speed?
Try to look at the strength or speed.
Yeah, you don't have the... Someone took the book from you. I don't know.
Oh, here.
Yeah. You can use
this. Got it?
Yeah.
Can I use it?
Okay.
Sure.
You need to go to the page number. Just tap in the middle. All
right. Little number. We're going to...
You tap it in and go, and I'll go to that page number.
Or you can say they're in your head. You can just say...
So we were talking about Joe's trouble aspect. And Joe, what were you going with?
Well, for my high concept, I thought, shake it, not stirred. In other words, I may be a little off, but I'm not completely nuts.
Always. We're still in Louisville, right?
I'm a functioning guy, as functioning as a bartender could be.
Yep.
But shaken and not stirred. Could be my high concept, and my trouble aspect could be the voices in my head are real.
Cool.
Or not necessarily my head, but I hear the voices and they're real.
Are the spirits I see in here real? It's a little too wordy, but I mean, that's what you're going for, right? Are the spirits real? The spirits are real?
Well, the idea...
I see dead people!
Yeah, right. the trouble aspect, at least for my idea, would be the trouble is that it could be hard for him to focus.
Right.
Because... A ghost could be talking to me, or I could be experiencing some kind of a, I guess medium is the word.
Sure. I mean, there's somebody whispering in your ear almost constantly.
So that would happen at an inopportune moment.
Right.
The voices always want something.
Yeah. Have you ever watched Being Human?
No.
Okay. You ought to watch an episode or so of that. Because that one of the characters, it's about a vampire, a werewolf, and a ghost all living together in an apartment.
Was this a comedy?
No.
No.
You would think it would be.
No. It sounds like the start of a joke.
Does the landlord think that the guy's gay and it's like comedic?
Nah.
Come and knock on our door.
That's how I would have made it.
But vampires and werewolves can see ghosts, but of course nobody else can.
Supernatural knows about supernatural. Yeah.
So every now and then, they're talking to the ghost, and regular people around are like, they're looking at him like, okay, someone's off his meds.
Or they'll have regular people over, and the ghost will say something that they have to respond to, but can't.
I think I saw the first two seasons of the British one. I haven't seen the American one at all.
There's a really funny scene with...
The American version?
In the American version. With the vampire and his vampire girlfriend, who's the princess, and the werewolf, and his completely normal, mundane girlfriend, having dinner. Vampires don't eat. And Sally the ghost is there, providing commentary.
Behind them. Right? Yeah. So it's like Doug would be standing behind you, and I would be looking past you to Doug, because he's talking, and you're not knowing that Doug's there, and you're like, who's behind me?
Right.
Yeah, that
That was like 2 episodes ago.
If I was alive, this conversation would kill me again. Yeah.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
It was good. Yeah, it was like 2-3 episodes ago.
Yeah. I got, like I said, I got 1 episode for the season finale. It's the season finale. It's all I got left.
You can read the exposition.
Alright, why? Well, you can read it, too.
You're going to have to read it.
I know I will have to read it, but...
Alright, well then, let's pause again while everyone goes back into the books and is all real quiet. Okay, we're back. We got some questions here while some other people are still looking in the books. And didn't think y'all wanted to listen to page flipping for a while anyway. So, Todd, stop that, Bill! Todd.
Alright, so background news, I'm spitballing this, is that he's from the Appalachian coal regions in eastern Kentucky. Family has been in Pikeville, Harlan, that area.
Uh-huh.
For 200 plus years. And is very clannish. Alright. He was once very close to them, but left his family when he was bitten in the mines to go to the city. He was a coal miner.
Yeah. So he wanted to leave the mines and go to the big city.
No. After he got bit, he was perfectly content to live his life in the mines and actually got bitten while in the mines.
Ooh.
Okay.
Something was dark was and evil was down in the mines.
Right. And see, what I'm thinking also just by doing that is that there was a cave-in and somebody else bit him to let him live. And everybody else died. But he escaped. And what? I don't know if that's possible. Or if they hit something like a pocket of something.
How about this? Your guy's down in the mines with a small crew, mm-hmm. maybe 3 or 4 of them. Mm-hmm. Comes across something nasty, a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
Who was trapped down there.
Was imprisoned and hungry. Down there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And killed the other 3.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't kill him, not on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not necessarily on purpose didn't kill him. Maybe he thought he was dead. Maybe there was other people coming and all of a sudden he mm-hmm. left. But that's what infected.
I like that.
That's what infected you.
All right.
So now you've got somebody out there.
Mm-hmm.
Your Red Court father.
There you go.
That's sort of how they do lineage.
Okay.
No. You're born to your human family, but when you become a vampire, whoever made you a vampire is your father, mother.
Here's my question is that obviously he hasn't killed another human. He's fought that urge.
Yeah.
For the whole time. Is he, in essence, life extended at this point? Or is okay.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's what I'm thinking is that he was bitten in the 20s or in the teens.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then slowly moved and found his way over.
You mean 1920s or he was 20 years old?
1920s.
Okay.
No, he's probably 19 or 20 himself.
Still pretty much looks like that, too,
yeah.
By the way.
Yeah.
There's one character in the books that has been a Red Court infected for over 200 years,
mm-hmm.
I think is what it was. I just finished his story in the book Changes. I just finished listening to the Changes book again. Love that one. It's my favorite Dresden book. Okay, so your question?
Well, that was one of my questions. Is he life extended? So then he goes to he travels across. He doesn't want to. I guess he kind of stays around his family and then realizes what he is.
Uh-huh.
Leaves. It's not like he's a world traveler or anything. He just goes and kind of lives the life of a homeless person for a long time.
Sweet.
Which is what? See, that's what I'm thinking that'll work in with him.
Sure.
So.
Smelly Mark was your best friend.
Yeah. one of the things that he does have is that he finds somewhere the tattoos, because that's one of the things he's going to have.
Well, at some point he's probably contacted by the Fellowship,
mm-hmm.
some way, shape, or form.
Okay.
The Fellowship can, or maybe he hears about it. Maybe he mm-hmm. talks to a priest about what he saw.
That could be it. Are you a priest?
True believer. Person of faith.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my connection with him.
Maybe Sister Clara there, Doug.
Yes.
Clara Ann.
You can borrow my nun.
Why do nuns seem to have two names like that all the time?
I thought they all had to have Mary.
No. I had Sister Olivia. Well, they're just one name there. Sister Olivia, 7th grade, St. Lawrence.
But I'm sure she had other names.
Sure, but, you know, you pretty much only knew the one.
No. And then she hit you with a stick?
No.
You
no,
didn't have those nuns?
No, I am, but not Sister Olivia. A nun that was a 4th grade teacher of mine within the past year, passed away. She was one of the more vicious nuns, and there was people on Facebook that still haven't forgiven her. And we're talking 30-odd years now, and they were not kind to the poor dead woman. Not kind at all.
Can you read me back what Guide My Hand does? Doesn't it give you visions of the future, or... I'm thinking that's the first power that he got that his dad tried to profit from.
No, it aids in masturbation.
Oh, it works only in the dark.
You're ready or lefty?
Yes.
Ambidextrous.
Okay, we're going to the places we really don't want to go. Guide My Hand. By giving yourself over to your faith, you may sense the purpose the higher powers have in mind for you, guiding your hands and your feet to take you where you are most needed. Skills affected, conviction, and others. Effects. Faith manages. Given the time to pray for guidance and provided that your goals are pure and your actions are selfless, you may spend a fate point to use your conviction skill instead of any other skill for one role. This effect cannot be used for any attacks or maneuvers, but it can be used to bypass other kinds of obstacles. Spiritual guidance. You have a semi-conscious awareness of where you are needed most. Usually this simply means you are guided to the right place at the right time. If the GM agrees that such a circumstance is in effect, you need not spend a fate point to stage a fortuitous arrival. Sometimes this might work in reverse, allowing an ally to show up where you already are.
Okay, so instead of saying he ran away when his dad tried to profit from his abilities, I'll just say he ran away when his new abilities guided him elsewhere or something. He was needed somewhere else.
He was needed somewhere else. He felt the obvious need to be somewhere else.
Yeah.
All right, Joe, what's your background in?
Background. Grew up in St. Martin's Orphanage near western Kentucky. Building used to be a hospital. I became aware of my medium gifts when I realized the sick kid patients around me weren't fellow kids in the orphanage.
Nice.
How old are you?
Well, I'm in my mid-30s now. This was my early... You mean how old am I at this point?
Yeah.
You're about as old as Doug's character is what he's getting at.
Yeah. Well, I mean, are you as old as him? Are you older?
Mid-30s.
Okay.
Rising Concept, Father Cassidy is just somebody made up, but it can easily be somebody tied with Doug. Father Cassidy's the leader of the orphanage, very good friend and father figure. Due to ghost clutter, I was diagnosed with attention deficit disorder.
I like it. Ghost clutter. Was that in the books, or did you just come up with
just
that?
Just making it up.
Because that's good.
Just seeing them and hearing them.
That
and
actually,
trying to deal with
that
them.
Would be a really good phase aspect for you at that point. Ghost clutter.
You're prescribed Ritalin, which helps keep the voices away.
Ghost clutter. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very descriptive, easy to understand.
Sounds like a good aspect.
Yeah.
Okay. Kind of time into Joe's.
Prone to ghost.
Well, hold on. When we get down to phase 4 and 5, that's when you'll start tying
in. We don't tie anything in yet.
Yeah, it doesn't start tying in until phase 4 and 5.
Well, crap. It says your first adventure.
Yeah. Phase 3 is your first adventure.
I understand that.
Okay, so backstories. You come up with your own backstory.
I did.
Your own rising conflict.
Okay.
And your own first adventure.
I did.
Okay.
Now, once you've come up with your first adventure, we'll start trading those first adventures. And people can then decide if they want to be a part of that first adventure. For example, Doug sees a ghoul eating something, eating somebody in a sewer.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And that ghoul runs away. Okay? Maybe it doesn't necessarily run away because of Doug, but maybe Jason's back there.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason is
undead.
Got some ability.
Oh.
You know? And Jason says, well, you know, the Doug didn't necessarily see me at that time, but yeah, I was back there.
Or he did.
Or maybe he did. I mean, and then we can work that out. But anyways, yeah, he says, and I was able to scare the ghoul off with my ability of such and such. Okay. See?
Yeah.
So that's how you tie it in. And, but everyone has to have their first story come out. Phase 4 was when everyone trades the stories, and then you decide
who you want start to be writing part. On someone else's story at that point.
Phase 5,
we do it again.
The same thing with different people.
Rinse, lather, repeat.
Okay, so everyone should have two people that interact on their first, two different people that interact with them in their first adventure. Don't roll your eyes at me.
Oh, let me just change my adventure.
So, I'm still stuck on what to call my high concept.
Okay.
Oh, my.
Here's three things, and I'm not sold on any of them, but
all right.
You all know basically what my idea is. But here's Observer of the Change was the first one that's kind of raw. And, True Witness of Time. Time's Paradox. I don't know.
I like the True Witness.
I like True Witness of Time because it, I mean, it almost has a religious sound to it. The true witness, one witness, you know, that kind of thing. True witness of time. I like
for,
it.
That works for me. I just okay.
I really like it. Am I alone in saying that?
No, I agree with you. Roll the tape back.
I'm not rolling the tape back. You know how difficult it is for me on this silly little setup?
To roll the tape back?
Yes.
Did you even start it running for your ironing?
Yes, I started running it this time.
It's shaken, not stirred, too stupid for a high concept.
Are you a spy?
I'm a bartender.
Okay. He's a bartender who's how about shaken, slightly stirred? Somewhat shaken, slightly stirred. It fits in with your idea of bartender, but also shows how you're slightly off kilter because of all these ghosts.
Somewhat
shaken, slightly stirred.
Or disturbed.
Perturbed.
Jason.
Is there a particular age you have to be?
Yes.
No. Why? What do you want to be? You want to be a little kid? You want to be an 8-year-old?
No, I'm just trying to figure out.
90?
What are you choosing to be? What's your template?
Changeling. As a template. The Unsealing Magic seemed a little difficult. So
be 13.
Well, I went with Glamour.
Uh-huh.
I went with Diminutive and Wings. I haven't grown up yet. I don't know why. But background is, I was born with oddities, which is the diminutive size in the wings. I never grew in size like other children. Father was always a chaser of faith and supernatural to cure his child. My mother, I never knew. Father wouldn't talk about her. Educated on the streets and at church. Friends are what are those? Trouble seemed to follow my father and I. The last I saw of my father was when that man bit him when we were hiding in the mines.
So how old do you want to be?
Well, the question is maybe 17, but to me, I always look like I'm younger, like I've never grown.
Well, you know, the mind thing happened like
in the 20s. About 100 years ago. Maybe the guy went back.
Maybe he went back. Maybe it's the same mind.
Yeah.
Maybe the whatever's trapped down there is still trapped down there.
But maybe I think my father died weeks ago and I've lived in such a small size I've never grown up or thought I've grown up.
You have no concept of time.
Is that what you're saying? You have no concept of time?
No concept of time. My size never.
So, in calendar years, you might be 70, but you still look that age. Who thinks of this stuff?
What stuff?
A guy named Jim Butcher.
All this stuff.
Somebody with lots of time on their hand.
Jim Butcher gets paid to do this. And he also has to deal with the insane fanboys out there who are just clamoring for the next book.
Like you?
Actually, no. I'm fine. As soon as he's done with the book, he's done with the book. I'm fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the guy who goes on the boards all the time and says, is he done yet? Is he done yet?
When's he
gonna
get
done yet?
TV show didn't do well.
No, but it they didn't follow the books as well. They extrapolated a lot, and they did some things clever and interesting, but they also isolated themselves from the already gathering fan base at the time. I mean, he was only on book 5, maybe 4, when the TV show came out.
Well, now, let's be fair. Tolkien was on book, 4, and they decided to make movies out of his? So, come on.
50 years later, yeah.
Starring Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah.
Actually, no, there was the animated back in...
There's also the Silmarillion. Can't forget that.
That's never going to be made. It's going to be 70 plus years before that will ever be made into a movie.
Why?
Because part of the copyright is still owned by Christopher Tolkien, which is his son, who is still alive. And copyright is extended to death by 70 years.
So they can't get him on board for...
Absolutely not. Christopher Tolkien is adamant about it. He's still pretty cheesed off at his father, I think, for selling the copyright to Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. I don't think Tolkien...
those movies did so
terrible. he didn't get really any money from it because Tolkien already sold the rights. And,
who did he sell it to?
He sold it to a company. I can't remember what the original company was. But no, Tolkien sold the rights back in the 60s for not that much money.
Well, the Beatles wanted to buy it at one point.
So,
make a movie out of it.
Then Michael Jackson would have owned it, right?
No, he only bought song.
Catalog. Oh, that's right.
He owned all the Apple Records archive.
Because they didn't own those.
Right. Okay, I have my story, and it's as cliche as it gets.
All right.
After weeks of insomnia due to the constant crying sounds of a little girl's ghost, I need my teddy. I need my teddy over and over and over again every night. No sleep. I scour the orphanage. I find a musty old trunk in the attic, which is full of old toys left from the hospital. I burn the old teddy bear in the fireplace and soothe the little girl's spirit.
You destroyed her teddy bear?
Well,
and she's soothed?
Yeah.
I would have killed you!
I mean, how else are you supposed to give a... How else are you supposed to pacify a ghost?
After you get it out of the trunk, you put it somewhere, and then it goes ethereal and disappears or something. Mm-hmm. She takes it.
Yeah. If it's still the orphanage, if she was dead at the... if she died at the orphanage, she's probably buried near the orphanage.
Wait, let's cut to the chase here, okay?
Put it on her grave.
What Roy and Doug are saying is that your story sucked. Okay?
No.
Your story sucks. Joe, you suck. Okay? So erase it all. Start completely over again. Your character's name is Olive Oil.
Olive Margarine.
Olivia.
So I bury the teddy bear in the yard.
You burn the teddy bear.
Burn the teddy bear.
Your story.
I don't care.
Wait. She was Chinese. You burned it.
He didn't know.
She was Indian.
I think it's interesting that he didn't know. And then the girl's still mad at him. Every now and then he gets poked up in the leg by this little girl ghost. I want my teddy bear.
I try to soothe it by burning it, and I only anger it.
Yeah, he's a kid. He doesn't know.
Once again, it's your story. Don't let that about brief.
No, don't let me do it. I'm just trying to
make it better.
No, I'm trying to make it more complicated.
Imagine a GM doing that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. He reminds me of the character from Better Off Dead.
Todd raises his hand.
I want my $2!
I just wanted to tell my story. It's like three lines and that was it.
Alright. Todd, what's your backstory? Your first adventure, right?
First adventure.
What's your first adventure?
In 76, I found out about many homeless who were disappearing. A young Red Court vampire was killing them and feeding off of them in hopes of establishing power in the city. Father Cassidy helped and was scarred mentally and left shortly after to run an orphanage.
Okay. So, if that happened back in the 70s, though, how are any of these guys going to be able to interact with him?
Well, see, that's... You didn't tell me that part. But see, there's him,
I know.
And there's him.
I know. So I'm throwing it out there.
I know. But see, now I've pissed off the Red Court by killing one of their own. Maybe I did.
I did it
worse than him.
You did what worse?
Set my first story.
Yeah, he set his first story at, you know,
I saw 1937 in there, but nothing else underneath of it.
So. Mine begins, and the earth cooled.
And God said...
And the dinosaurs got fat.
Let there be light.
That's your word, and you're sticking to it.
Alright, so there's two first adventures. Jason, do you have a first adventure yet? Or do you have another question?
No, not yet.
You don't know yet?
No. I'm trying to incorporate his father.
That you way can have him. I'm done with him.
Did you have a first adventure? Him.
Yes.
Doug, what's your first adventure?
Well, when Smelly Mark went missing,
oh yeah,
Templeton and Sister Clara entered the sewer system to search for him. While searching, they discovered a clutch of ghouls feasting on Smelly Mark. The ghouls were driven off, too late for Mark. Templeton and Sister Clara escaped, but made several enemies that day. And my phase aspect is, that's not an animal!
Okay, I do kind of like the phase aspect, except how does that work in... How is that going to work as a good aspect?
I have no idea.
You have to tell what your phase aspect is?
You don't need to, but you're going to have one.
Only if you want help with it.
Here's mine. Help the dead, rest your head.
Beat your head.
Actually, I kind of like that. Help the dead, rest your head. It rhymes.
It's catchy, and you can dance to it.
We need to work on that aspect, though.
Okay.
Because that's...
It's in pencil. I don't know what to put down for any aspects. My background aspect is Daddy's Little Helper. My rising conflict is Seeing the Light.
My background aspect is Born in Death. And the rising conflict is Rebel Rising.
Okay. Those are actually following... I think I can work with those. Born in Death. I think I can work with that.
Rebel Rising is that he learns about the tattoos and all that other stuff.
That because you could actually tap that for...
I'd tap that.
For information, back history, things like that for court, St. Giles thing.
Okay.
Give me a moment on yours, Doug. We'll work it out. Because I like it, but I'm not sure how useful it is. That's the problem I'm having.
And the story... I'm sorry.
I know, Bill's waiting in patience.
No, go ahead.
I'm going to say the story aspect was fighting hunger, and it's two-sided.
Fighting to the my hunger?
My hunger and the hunger of the Red Court, so...
Fighting the hunger.
Fighting the hunger.
Bill.
Okay, so what I have so far is the true witness of time is the high concept.
Okay.
The trouble is unhinged in time.
Right.
Which will tie to the foretellings.
Sure.
Background, I was born to a poor family January 1st, 1900. inherited my grandfather's watch on it on my 18th birthday. It's my prized possession, so leads to the phase aspect of always checking watch.
Right.
Which is the item of power.
Mm-hmm.
Rising conflict.
Can you give your watch a name?
No.
I don't know.
A little trusty.
No, I mean, not in a name like Lucille. Oh.
Speedy.
But, I mean, as an item of power, maybe something you... Or maybe...
Grandfather's watch.
Grandfather's watch is fine. That could actually be the aspect there. That's one of the things they talked about. You could actually... an item can actually be an aspect.
Okay.
Especially an item of power. Grandfather's watch would actually be a really good aspect.
Better than what I had.
I don't know better, but...
No, I think better.
I like it. Just so you know, I've read literally nothing else except for these books for the past 2 weeks. Okay, so.
And we thank you for that.
I'm trying to understand because aspects is still not necessarily easy for me. I mean, we've played with Joe's game before, so I have the working knowledge of. Okay, there's something to give you a bonus. Really, is what they are, and so we'll be
and to a smaller extent, much smaller extent. What we've done with Burning Wheel with. Beliefs and instincts and traits of helps that too. Mm-hmm. But not.
Well, beliefs inform a lot more because they give you what to do with anything, okay? In this case, the aspects are a lot more tailored. It's just like whether or not you can add a die to it, or not a die, but a bonus to your...
I think beliefs are more of a means to the end, a driving force of everything that you do, whereas the aspects...
Have more in common with instincts.
Yeah. And
aspects, still not, that's not, still not a perfect match.
Yeah.
In Strands, they say it's not. Don't think of them as a mechanical bonus into the game. Think of it as turning the spotlight on yourself.
Right.
And using the aspect to put your character in the spotlight.
Both good and bad.
Right. Based on something that shapes
your character you. Stands up and uses the sword to cut the head off the snake.
Yeah.
Or he gets lit on fire.
So... Rising conflict.
Okay.
I was drawn... My watch drew me to Never Never.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Because that's one of the things it can do.
Can help him cross into Never Never. Yeah.
So I spend what seems like years traveling in between as time takes a hand in my destiny and I end up places where I need to witness things. And yeah.
So you go from, you were born in 1900, and you were 18, so 1918 was when you started your adventures. So anything you witness would have to be after 1918. Right?
Yeah, sure. And the phase aspect would be Time Blown Traveler?
Yeah.
Man, I have my first story. It's not elegant like some of the books everyone else writes, but, you know.
Doesn't need to be.
But
it all it needs to be is it needs to inform the group of what you think your first story is and give somebody else, two other players, hooks into a lab, fleshing it out.
Well, I hope that works.
On the deck of the Hindenburg.
No.
Damn.
What I hooked on was the 1937 flood.
Okay.
Ooh.
Cool.
Which is a big deal here in Louisville.
Yeah. I step out of Never Never into waist high water, running my spats. Very annoying.
It annoys me all the time.
Yes. Well, it is 1937.
They
didn't wear spats in 37.
They do now.
And they did that.
Actually, people did.
You probably did. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm not actually...
Yeah, don't...
And I'm like, what the hell's a spat?
It's what you wear over a shoe.
It's a shoe covering.
Yeah. They wore those.
Black shoes and white on top of it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
Would you like a stick, Bill?
Oh, I'd love a stick.
Yeah,
no, all you got to do is send me home.
No, not the lightsabers. Those will break.
She'll beat me at home.
I got the practice blade up there. You can try that.
There you go.
I got a boff sword out there somewhere.
It's a fencing foil. Anyway, run me through.
I find an upset woman crying for her son, Cassidy. And I go rescue him from ghouls.
That'd be Father Cassidy?
Possibly.
Nice.
I like that.
I could tie in.
Yeah.
I just thought of something. People might be able to tie into a historical story.
Could have been your granddaddy.
Not necessarily like that, but maybe they were doing some research for something else, and they came across like a picture of him helping Cassidy out. You know, maybe someone had got a picture of him.
Well, I thought the point of being a guest star was that you somehow
be part of the story.
Affected the story.
Yeah, so it's going to be kind of tough. Who else could fit in with it? Maybe Jason?
I don't know. It was just I really like that idea of tying into the flood. Because it is a big thing here.
Yeah.
I have a stool that has like 12 coats of paint on it that came through the flood.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my grandmother was a little girl. No, she was a teenage girl.
When's it?
Back in 37. You know, she remembers being in a boat, being hauled out from downtown.
My grandfather told me about it. He lived in Cincinnati, and it was just as bad up there.
Yeah.
And he was saying where they lived in the high part of the city.
And more high parts in Cincinnati than in Louisville.
Yeah. And he said that there was actually a big bridge, and he said they would walk across it. No cars were on it because none could get there. And they said they just saw houses all throughout the city just burning. Couldn't do a thing about it. Just watched them burn.
Cincinnati would be a cool city to Dresdenize because you would have to use the museum, which is the old train station.
Oh, Union.
Which is
neat.
A perfect model for the
Justice
All
League.
Of Justice from the old Super Friends garden. Mm-hmm. If you've never seen it, you walk outside of it and you're like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. It had to have been a model. Alright, so whose backstory have we not heard?
Jason's.
Jason? Jason doesn't have a backstory yet. Got an idea, Jason?
You take your silence as a yes.
Alright, hold on just a second. Be right back. Okay, so where are we now?
In your basement.
Phase 4.
Gotta love my basement game room. It's killing Doug, but I love my basement game room.
Actually, it doesn't give me a headache anymore.
It doesn't? The dehumidifier I've got almost constantly running.
I keep mine cranked down to like 35%.
Yeah. Well, my wife complained about, you know, having it on. She's like, I hate when that thing's on. I was like, you know what? It kills the spiders.
Mm-hmm.
Because the spiders can't live below a certain humidity level.
I don't know.
Yeah. So she's much happier about that.
It makes the basement smell better, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't have a musty smell.
Mm-hmm.
Might also be the fact that the whole sub pump thing has been taken care of, too.
I've been getting allergy shots for 5 years now. It's made a huge
You
difference.
Still, even when you first started getting your allergy shots, you were having problems.
Oh, when I first started getting my allergy shots, you're right. I had a headache every time I left here.
You're allergic to damn near everything, right?
If it's made of carbon, I'm allergic to it.
Okay. So those silicon-based entities that...
We thought we were going to...
I love computers, yeah. That's right.
We thought we were going to have to take him to the hospital at Gen Con 1 year.
Well, yeah. That was selfish, though. That's a completely different allergy.
Still an allergy.
It is.
Still carbon-based.
Still carbon-based.
What was it, a Gen Con?
It's iodine-based, though.
He had something, and apparently had cross-contamination with some shellfish.
Shrimp or something.
No, we were eating...
Where were we eating at? I don't even remember where we were eating at.
We were at the Italian restaurant at the Circle Center Mall.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And we ordered calamari. And somebody cross-contaminated the calamari.
It's very easy to cross-contaminate. Use the same spoon to stir two different pots.
Mm-hmm.
Because my wife is...
You start swelling up.
My allergy is non-histamine-based. So my throat, historically, hasn't closed, but I feel like instantly, as soon as I swallow the first bite, I feel like I've got the flu. Like, I get a migraine, I start sweating, my heart starts racing, I hurt all over.
So you're in love.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I wish. It's bad.
Okay, so we're still waiting for Jason's. first adventure, right?
Yep.
You've been writing furiously over there, Jason.
Cloud of smoke above his head.
Give you another couple minutes?
Nah. You can help. Probably help me.
All right.
First adventure was a few years ago in my eyes when Asgood saved me from the mines before that man could bite me. And then after such, he closed the mines. Or collapsed the mines.
Who's Asgood?
That's your name?
Asgood.
Lyman Asgood.
Okay. The only problem with that is you've incorporated him. But yeah. If he wants to incorporate, that means he can't go in anybody else's story.
Well, only one other person's story.
Only one other person's story. Yeah, sorry. Bill's right.
I can do that.
Okay. So that takes care of your phase four, too.
I am good. That was great.
Only his phase four. Only his phase four. Right. It takes care of... Todd's phase four has been taken care of by...
Jason's
backstory.
Let's go to phase four. I'm done. Why are y'all taking so long?
Okay, so does everyone remember, or do we need to quickly recap the backstories? And someone wants to fit. Does anyone want to fit it? We've been talking a lot about Bill's backstory. Anyone got any ideas on how they could interact in Bill's backstory and when it stepped to the plate?
Can I use that as four and then.
And five? You want to go ahead and knock five out by doing that?
Yeah. All right. The reason I say that is I'm thinking of something.
You got something
now.
Already? Okay.
Yeah.
Todd just wants to go home.
Bill, go over your story one more time, please.
1937 flood. I run across a woman trying to find her lost son, and I end up rescuing him from ghouls.
Okay.
I don't even have a phase aspect for that.
Okay.
Look what I found.
Oh, wow. Look what I found, actually. It's not bad. It quite fit, but okay. It's not bad.
Where was the boy? Where did you find him? Just give me kind of an idea. You rescued him and that was
it. Yeah. I did a very poor job on the story.
They found him. They found the boy up in Cave Hill Cemetery. Isn't that one of our
locations? That's one of our locations.
They found him up in Cave Hill Cemetery because that's one of the high points in the city. And it was dry. And
in downtown.
And downtown, yeah.
So I watched him because I was hunting the rats that were being chased out of downtown by the water. And they all went to the high ground. So they were going in and around the cemetery. And I was eating the rats. And then I saw the boy and got tempted to eat the boy. But then they found him beforehand.
The boy and his friends were there watching the water circle down.
Or you
were stalking.
Or you heard them and you were like, and that's how you were able to grab a hold of yourself again.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I kind of like that.
Bill, if you need an aspect for that, you could make it still waters run deep.
Flooding waters run shallow? What's the most important thing about the backstory?
That I have to have one.
Oh, man. All right. What's the most important thing about the backstory?
That I rescued someone.
Okay. Then look what I found actually kind of fits.
Then he's good.
Kind of, yeah.
Ultimately, he is a good guy.
Yeah.
But that's what I get out of it.
Oh yeah, but
I'm happy with look what I found.
I kind of like look, and if I mean it really does fit with what you think is the most important part of that. Doug's very pithy.
I am concise.
Here's where Todd just throws his pen down and goes done.
Finito.
Okay. Anybody else have a way to fit into...
What aspect are you pulling up?
The phase aspect is... I even thought about using the same one. is
in the nick of time.
That's a good one. Yeah. Saved in the nick of time.
Tempted by the fruit of another.
Yeah.
So did you fight?
any other squeeze songs we can think of?
Bill,
did you fight off the ghouls? Or?
No, I fought off my own temptation to eat the boy.
And went back to the rats, which don't taste very good, do they, Precious?
No.
Lunch is better served cold.
Needs more salt.
That's right.
Okay, anybody else got a way to fit into Bill's backstory?
Maybe the ghost. Did the mother die?
Eventually.
Maybe in the flood.
Or maybe the boy grew up in an orphanage.
Maybe the father died.
See, maybe one of these people are telling one of these ghosts, either the mother or the boy. And you may have to come up with the reason why. But maybe they haunt me and tell me, you know, seek the timekeeper. Or seek the...
Don't you have to be part of the story?
Yeah, you have to guest star.
You have to be part of the story. You have to be guest star, yeah.
You have to be there.
No way, then.
No way for you. I don't think there's much of a way for... unless y'all want to be pulled in time. Actually, it'd be easier for Jason, I think, is...
Yeah, Jason's timeless. He could have been there.
When were you born, Jason?
I have no clue.
He has no concept of time.
What were you doing during the flood of 37?
The backstroke.
Oh.
Waiter, what's this fairy doing in my flood?
The backstroke.
I got... It's your fault that the kid got separated from his mom.
You let him off the plane.
Not necessarily on purpose or anything. In fact, you realize that you accidentally led him away and ended up helping them find the kid. Cassidy could even think that you were an angel helping him. That's what gave him his faith. Jason's not swept away by any of these ideas. No. Just kind of looking at me going,
that's a little unrealistic.
Yeah. I do like the helping him find the way with the father, but...
No. It's not shady enough for you.
Shady?
Come on, Jason.
This character's not shady. This character's sparkly.
That's right.
Just a minute over
here. Hey, mister. You got another voice for me, mister? Huh? Is it in this ear or this one?
Speaking of which, did you... Okay, here's a tangent. Did anybody see the guy who... the NBA player who got assessed a foul for giving somebody a wet willy?
No.
Yeah, he gave somebody a wet willy during the game. I don't think he got teed up, but he got...
Oh, my God.
There was a foul called. Anyways. Okay, Jason.
I like the helping the father, Cassidy, find the boy. Giving him his face.
Well, Cassidy is the boy.
Father Cassidy is the boy.
Father Cassidy is the boy. The boy who would become Father Cassidy.
The boy who would be king.
Maybe you the one that led him up the hill away from the water. There you go.
So is this your background
material?
So your paper? Are you ready yet?
Protector of the innocent.
So would that be the guest star?
Quarter of an
innocent. Yeah, you would be phase four for you. Phase four ties you into Bill's backstory.
Or phase five. I don't think it matters.
Doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
How many pages is that paper?
Oh, it'll be 5 to 8 double space, which, I mean, I can knock that out pretty quick. It's just the... I mean, writing 1,000 or 2,000 words is nothing.
Oh, yeah, I could do that.
I mean, really, you can knock that out.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, I write emails that long.
Apparently so do I, right, Doug?
I I write texts that long at times.
Doug fussed at me last week because my email was too long.
I didn't say it was too long. I just said I hadn't read it yet because it was too long.
It's not too long.
I didn't say it was unreadable. I just said I came back with
a more concise one. He was much, much happier with that.
back during the days.
He just said TLDR.
Okay, so we've got one person who has phase 4 and phase 5 completed.
Yay, overachiever.
And no one's joined his story yet, though.
And no one has joined his story yet.
What is your story?
What's your backstory again?
My story was in 1976. I found out about many homeless who were disappearing. A young Red Court vampire was killing them and feeding off of them in hopes of establishing power in the city. Father Cassidy helped and was scarred mentally and left shortly after.
That is what happened to my parents.
They were scarred mentally?
Red Court vampire got them. Father Cassidy and maybe you... No, knew me as a...
That's... Okay, so you were a little kid.
Yeah, a little kid.
Yeah, okay.
Ended up going to the orphanage with Father Cassidy, mm-hmm. but maybe the Red Court vampire.
Were you in the chattel herd? Did he save you from being fed upon?
He could probably only save the children before the vampire got to him.
Yeah, maybe. There you go.
So that's your phase 4.
That's your phase 4. Saved by Todd.
Or your phase 5. No, that'd be phase 4.
Saved by Father Cassidy and...
No, 4 comes Uncle before 5. Lemon. It's very simple.
Uncle Lemon.
Uncle Lemon.
We got that.
Phase 4 and phase 5 are exactly the same.
I want to jump in on that too.
You want to jump in on his?
Yeah.
Jump in on it. You don't have a phase 4 yet, do you?
No. I don't know how, though. I mean, it just fits time-wise.
time-wise?
No.
Where was the Red Court vampire at?
Where did this happen?
It's in Louisville. It happened here.
I know that, but you're saying that you found him while he was feeding
in the steam tunnels of U of L.
They didn't exist then.
76? Yeah, they did.
Okay. Some of the buildings were built then.
Or how about
the sewer line prior to explosion?
Butchertown. It was actually a real industry then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Was it?
That'd be good. Yeah, Butchertown and down at the stockyards.
Were you there to see something, Bill?
Sure.
Bill the time guy.
Yeah.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey. That was great. That's my favorite. That's one of my favorite Doctor Who episodes. Wibbly wobbly, tiny whiny stuff. Bill's eyes are darting furtively.
I
love that word.
So
he's got an idea.
Was it a vampire or a flock of
one?
One. Okay.
One's enough for you guys.
Yeah. So the red vampire gets around behind them and locks the door, making it much harder for them to have any chance of surviving.
Who's them?
I happen to, in my never wandering, happen to walk in up at the top of the warehouse, and it's dark in here, so I open the skylight. It's noon. Do they have light aversion?
The Red Court do not have light aversion.
Yes, they
do. Do they?
They even said something in there.
I thought it was the Black Court that had the light aversion. Red Court seems to get around pretty well.
Hold on.
They might be restricted, but they don't incinerate. But maybe it was what caused the distraction that allowed the kids at least to be saved. There's a lot of nick and time kind of stuff.
There's reading.
The reason it says is this aspect may be compelled to inflict watered-down versions of the Red Court's weaknesses on the character. He will experience aversion to holy objects and sunlight.
Aversion, but I don't think he... Like, Black Court, I think, is actually incinerated.
Hmm. Yeah, so you open the light, the Red Court guy... Recoiled from it, but wasn't injured.
Wasn't killed, and allowed us to go in there and kill him.
He said, "Oh, where are my shades? How annoying."
The white have no white court has no problem other than the other red.
Mortals.
Yeah, I know. Old ones, outsiders, tentacled villains, spirits, black courts, red courts,
toot court,
people's court.
People's court.
Okay. Sunlight doesn't just burn them, it also shreds their flesh mask and strikes them like a physical blow. I stand corrected. Additionally, their bellies are a vulnerable point. Strike them correctly hard enough, and all the blood they've consumed spills out. That's one of the things that's really kind of cool about them. They get these big, bloated, distended bellies when they're in their monster mode, and that's where they store blood. They just basically, they don't necessarily eat the blood right then and there. They just store it in a pouch.
I open the sun up on him.
All right.
Distract him and allow, well... More than distract him, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. I think my aspect
Phase
will be...
Phase 4.
What's this do?
What's this do? Let the sun shine in.
Well, I don't know.
What's this do? I like what's this do.
Or does this myth work?
I'm sorry?
Or does this myth actually work?
Does this myth work? Whose myth is this? I like that. Does this work? It actually works. That actually works pretty well.
Does this work? Or?
Does this work? That works. Okay, we're
perfections. Okay, I need a phase aspect for Todd's.
What?
Saved by Father Cassidy and Uncle Lemon. Parents were victims of the Red Court vampire attack in 1976.
That's your aspect?
No.
That's a damn long aspect.
Tempted by the fruit of another. Just an aspect for that.
Say it again without the sunflower seeds.
Saved by Father Cassidy and Uncle Lemon, a.k.a. Todd. My parents were victims of the Red Court vampire attack of 1976.
Born in blood.
It's not bad.
Saved by the light.
Saved by the light.
Mm-hmm.
Doorway to freedom.
Who did that?
Let's see. Doorway to freedom. Gateway to hell. However you want to determine your life. Because after that point in time, didn't you?
Teeth of a dilemma.
Born in horror. I mean, there wasn't necessarily blood, but horror. That's certainly.
Oh, there was lots of blood around.
Oh, there was blood.
Yeah, but horror makes it even worse.
Yeah.
We're all born in blood.
And die the same? No.
No.
Dying the same way I came into this world, naked and screaming.
I hope to die peacefully in my sleep, not screaming like the passenger.
Okay, we'll come back to that, Joe.
It's going to be hard to compel or invoke. Born of blood, born of horror.
Are you kidding?
Oh, that'd be
as soon
easy.
As something scary happens, you're cowering in a corner.
Yeah.
Aren't you?
No. That's not Mortimer at all.
No, but if something gruesome happens, not scary.
Yeah.
Gruesome.
There you go.
Like a lot of blood happens, or somebody gets their arm ripped off, or something that
getting
peeled. You can handle the ghost because the ghost is just a ghost.
Flickering
you
lights
see
aren't
them,
a big deal.
All right, that's like looking at something covered in flour, and then now you've got somebody who's sitting there that's been ripped from head to toe, and in the stockyards, no less.
Yeah.
So now you even have an aversion to bacon. You can't stand bacon.
That's not Mortimer.
That's dude, he's the salt of the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah, ghosts are no big deal for you. No problem at all. But, you know what? Just the lights being out? It's kind of scary. Something that goes bump out there and you have no idea what it is.
Or that grinding sound you always hear outside your window.
Gnashing of teeth. The howl outside. Is that a cat?
I'm not feeling it. You guys are nuts.
The guy can't be a badass. Can't be all badass. He's got to have a an Achilles in there somewhere.
I got to head out.
All right, Todd. Have a good one.
Oh, yeah. Sunday?
Sunday.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Oh. All right, so Todd's got to bail on us because he's a weenie.
See you, boys.
Take care.
Night, Todd.
Hi, before he...
What's that?
I said I before E.
Thank you.
Except after C.
Are you leaving your character?
Oh, yeah. Did you get the second season?
We're at number two right here.
All right. It really starts picking up.
Good. I'll take a deuce.
All right.
Nice.
Farscape, season two. Highly recommended. Okay. Doug, phase four.
Read your phase three, Joe.
After weeks of insomnia due to the constant crying sounds of a little girl's ghost, I need my teddy. I scour the orphanage. I find a musty old trunk in the attic that was full of old toys left from the days that the building was a hospital. I burn the old teddy bear in the fireplace to try to soothe the girl's spirit. Does it or not, I don't know, but I burnt it anyway. The idea there is the aspect help the dead rest your head is like, at that point in my life, I get the notion that if I can help these ghosts, it makes my life easier.
How old are you at this point?
I'm guessing I'm not quite a teenager. 9 or 10, maybe. I'm like the Encyclopedia Brown of ghosts.
What's up, Whoopi?
I try to help him out, you know.
You could... You guys could have interacted if your dad's taking you all over the place.
Right. Well, if you were 9 or 10...
You would be a little older. Well, you got your characters figured out in your head. Maybe 13, 14.
Sure.
Or not.
Well,
I thought you said like 33, 34 earlier.
Right, I said 30s.
Okay.
In his 30s, and he's saying that he was around in 60.
No, it was around 70s. It was like 2 and 76, 76, which would make me 38.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, so you're much older than you thought.
I'd be 38. I don't care.
Right.
I don't have a problem with being 38.
You were 2 when you were kidnapped by the Red Vampire.
Well, when I was rescued from the... When my parents were killed by the Red...
So he wouldn't have any knowledge of it.
So you're basing this on your real history.
Yeah, true story. Vampires and shit. Oh! Vampires and stuff.
Okay, so...
I'll be honest, it is much easier to come up with stories that cross each other when you're all about the same age and you're all within the last couple years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there's nothing magical about that.
Why not? Only if you don't think of it. You just had to be a time traveler.
I was going to be a ghost. So,
and I was worried about that one. And boy, I really stepped into it. And
went with the ghost?
Journeyman. Mm-hmm. That's the show I was trying to think of.
Journeyman. It's a good show.
I could never get into it.
I liked it.
I never thought it was bad. I just couldn't get into it. Okay, let's finish these up. Two phases.
The chest was in an abandoned orphanage?
The orphanage that I grew up in.
Orphanage you grew up
in. Used to be a hospital. Mm-hmm. Converted over. So I start seeing all these ghosts of these sick people and sick kids, and I don't realize they're not real.
Mm-hmm.
Until I do, and then I realize I'm supernatural. And then the more I snoop around, I figure out the building used to be a hospital. These are ghosts of people who died in the hospital.
Right.
So in the attic, there's just a trunk, and they just stuffed a bunch of toys in a trunk that were left behind from the days that it was a hospital.
Okay, so my father is at the hospital healing kids.
It's an orphanage now, right?
Orphanage. He's at the orphanage healing kids. And I sneak away. You and I are playing. You're looking for something. I think we're playing hide and go seek because I'm younger.
and I hide behind the chest, which is how you find it.
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
That's phase five for me.
No, it's his phase it's four.
That's his four, my five.
No.
No.
You can't it's guess his star four. In your own story.
You have to guest star in either
years
Doug's.
Later, I meet Doug and we have a beer.
Mm. Well, no, it has to be his story. His, your four and five is someone else's three.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Your four was Todd's three.
Mm-hmm.
So your five has
to be... his four is my three.
Right.
Yes.
So, you know,
what's your character's name?
He guest starred.
Mortimer.
Morton.
Mortimer.
Mortimer.
Mortimer Townsend.
Yeah.
What's your guy's name, Doug?
Templeton Brown.
Morty and Tempe.
Mm-hmm.
Bill, do you have any? Have you done phase four yet?
Yeah, I'm...
Todd's, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Todd's done.
Todd's
he's
done.
Been in two, and he's had two people in his.
Right.
So I've been in Todd's, mm-hmm. and Joe's been in Todd's.
Right.
So I need one more. Joe needs one more. No, he just did.
Yeah, he needs to be in one more.
No,
no, that's someone right. else needs.
No,
I'm not getting
you it. Need to be a guest star in someone else's. You need to be a guest star because you've
in someone else's.
In story. Someone else's.
What do you?
You've been a guest star in one other.
Jason
person.
Has a bunch of writing over there.
His sorry,
character
teddy bear
sheet,
or doll?
It was a teddy bear.
Teddy bear.
Well, for my phase five, I was going to try to involve myself with Doug looking for, what was his name, Stinky?
Smelly Mark.
Smelly Mark. Looking for a place of safety, I found a hot meal and a cot at the soup kitchen. All of a sudden, there's a disturbance. I followed the cook and the nuns to find Stinky Mark.
So you were backup?
What was your previous one?
Helping you save Cassidy as a boy.
That's okay. Right.
That's right.
That's right. So, Jason's done. Joe, you need to be a guest star in somebody else's.
My guests are done.
Your guest starring?
My guest stars are done. Todd's are done.
Uh-huh. Mortimer, what?
Townsend.
Has anyone been.
Like Pete?
I kind of have to be in. I need to be in your guest, I guess. You have the time shift going on, don't you?
He can, yeah. What's your backstory again? Your first adventure.
Walking through time, you can be in anybody's story.
Yeah, but I don't walk through time. He
you can. Not through the never never though.
You've been skipping forward in time, right?
I've been
yeah,
going
so
forward.
You could have popped out in anybody's story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could, but I'm just saying if his time his story
was
so old.
My right, story right. was being saved in the mines. When he was first bitten.
Which was how long ago?
I don't remember. Appalachian coal region, family, 200 years, is clannish. He's old, but he's not, I don't think he's that old.
So he said something about a couple hundred years, something like
well, that. Well, family has been here over 200 years and is very clannish. And he left to go to the big city.
You could have been the one that showed my father the path to the righteous to cure me.
What is your...
But his first adventure, though, is 1976.
Yeah, that's not what we're trying to figure out what his first adventure is.
Well, my first adventure was being saved by Asgood after my father was bitten, before I was taken. So, I don't know if he survived before he was bitten.
Oh, no, see, that's not his... You want to look at his four or five, then.
Yeah. Oh, saw his boy hiding in Cave Hill Cemetery. So he was around, when, during 37. I've been chasing rats. I was tempted greatly. So that's when he...
That's my story.
Yeah.
Right, so he fluxed into that. And I was the one that led you to the boy.
I was in the mine with Jason something or another. I can't read it. Page 5. He guest starred in Jason's.
It worked much better with the cards.
Yeah, we could have done that. We should have traded and had people fill in.
And,
I have no idea. No, I don't. We don't know.
Dude should be a doctor.
Yeah. So, you're... Let me see here. Thank you.
I don't know if you can read my Dr. Hand scribble as well.
First venture a few years ago when Asgood saved me from... Before that man could bite me.
Yeah, the one that bit my father.
Yeah. Did he kill your father?
Don't know.
Okay.
Because didn't he...
Okay, here, the problem... Okay, so your first story was you were trapped in a mine and someone was going to bite your father, and the guest starring was Todd comes in and saves you. Okay. Right. Guest starring Todd. So, is that the last time you saw your father?
Yeah. Because he said the mine's collapsed or something. I think that was later on down the thing, but...
So at some point between 1918 and 1937, you could have interacted with him mm-hmm. at that point. Bill, I'm said for the mm-hmm. podcast. Mm-hmm.
But it would have been his...
You need a phase 5, right?
Right, but it would have been his... It wouldn't have been between. It would have been at that cave-in.
Yeah. Yes. Maybe you saw the cave.
Which is why I think I should be the one to do it, because neither one of these guys' stories take place then.
Right.
Or maybe you're the one that caused the cave-in.
Is Jeff making up a character?
No. And if he does come in later, we could tie him in. There is a way to do that, but don't worry about it.
Maybe something with Waverly. Being a haunted ghost place and my guy also being the...
Well, it has to be somebody's dual. Phase 3.
It has to be your phase 3. You have to fit into somebody else's phase 3.
Well, I'm running out
of options. Yes, that's the problem. Before I was born. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was in the sewers. That's where they found the... All he did was find the body of Smelly who?
Smelly Mark.
Smelly Mark. Maybe Smelly Mark's ghost.
That's where I was going to go.
Yes.
I'm following a ghost by a guy calling himself Smelly Mark.
He still actually stinks as a ghost.
Right. He's kind of air about him.
Because he wants a... respectable funerals.
Yeah, he wants to be rested in peace.
So I go down into the sewers where I run into Templeton Brown, who I knew, who helped me
when you were a kid.
As a kid.
So we become little ghost adventurers together in a weird kind of way.
Alright, there you go. Write it up. That's your phase 5 then, right? And your guest star is
Templeton Brown.
So now we got to fit Doug in somewhere, and Bill, you need a phase 5, right?
Right.
Doug is in my story, my phase 3.
Yeah, that's my phase 4.
Okay.
He
needs another guest shot.
Which means we need to fit Doug into Jason's story. That's the only slot left.
Is that the only slot left?
Because Doug's already been in Joe's.
Yeah.
But what can't he be in Todd?
Mine are full. So that leaves Jason.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
And what about your phase 5?
I just figured that one out when I figured out that Doug has to go in Jason's.
Okay.
So I have to go in Joe's.
Yeah, he has to fit in my story?
Yes.
Yeah.
Read your story.
The phase 3 story.
Being let out by
as good before the man could bite me after he bit my father. So there's a time discrepancy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is, but by the passing of the stories, it has to go that way.
Yeah.
But as far as that goes, as far as Joe's go, I find myself in the basement of
the orphanage.
The orphanage, in front of a filing cabinet. So I open it, find a very old key, and walk it up to the attic because I feel that's the right thing to do.
So you're the one that unlocks the attic for him. Is that what you're saying?
No, I put the key on the chest.
Oh, okay. Oh, that key. Okay. I thought you were... Okay, gotcha.
The lock chest.
I like it. I like it. I like it a lot. And the aspect?
Destiny's tool?
Yes. That's got a lot of positive and negative to it.
Yeah, I'm Destiny's tool.
I got a better word, but it'd have to be bleeped out every time we used it.
Yeah, that's why we use tool.
Okay. Fit into his story somehow. His story is essentially his father's gone. All right? Maybe sometime later you find out something about his father.
Well, that doesn't make me the guest in his phase three, though.
It's still a guest in his phase three. It just doesn't take place concurrently.
Actually, the ghoul that is killing Smiley Mark is my father.
Or...
No, because you're...
Because not be putting me right
your
back.
Your mom... You've already established that your mom is probably where you got your changeling.
Well,
apart from, and the changeling is a half human,
right? But ghouls wear people, don't they? In this,
they can, yeah. But it wouldn't be the ghoul. Wouldn't be his father. The ghoul wouldn't be his father. Sorry, he might now be wearing his father's skin.
That's what I was.
There you go. We could go with that. And that's, and you've been digging into whatever it was you saw down there.
Well, maybe I found pieces of his father.
There you go.
And I'm trying to return, and I take the wallet, watch, gold ring off of it, and I'm trying to return it to him.
He has a gold ring with, or no, Unseely, right? No.
Well, no, I didn't do it.
No, that's right. You didn't do that. What?
I did your, glamour, dimensive, and wings.
So... We'll say summer court, more or less. Maybe it's got little fairies or little pixies around the ring.
Well, it could be a brooch or a necklace or something. Maybe it's like a pendant.
Yeah, it could be.
Pendant of a little boy with wings, like a little fairy. And, I don't know, Tinkerbell.
That your mom had, that he had from your mom. The only thing left that he had from your mom.
Maybe it's a locket with a woman's face and Tinkerbell.
No, it's... Doesn't fit the time. Peter Pan's later, isn't it?
It's an old story.
Peter Pan in the 1800s?
To the Googles.
To the Googles machine.
I mean, that's why I said Pixie, because Pixie is more timeless.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I mean, sure. It doesn't matter. Pixie's fine. Then Peter Pan, Pixie. I mean, Tinkerbell is... People see Tinkerbell, that's fine. So does that mean everyone has
we kind of had to shoehorn but I think
yeah I mean I, yeah it wasn't as easy as it probably should have been
well you've had a table full of creative weird
yeah we'll go with weird. I'll go with weird.
I was hoping you'd keep the two words together, but you know.
You can live the name it.
What is it? Chase.
Chase.
Puck.
Okay. There you go, Roy. Here's my phase aspect for the rescue.
Okay.
Ghosts I can handle. It's the vampires and monsters that give me the creeps.
Well, just say other monsters.
Okay.
Other monsters, ghosts I can handle, the other monsters give me the creeps.
And then my last one is while following a ghost named Smelly Mark, a ghost whose body was lost in the sewers, I run into Templeton again. We locate his body together, and I see the ghoul with Templeton. And the aspect is, and this is just one of those in quotes, there's worse things than ghosts out there.
They're a little redundant, but...
I know, but I didn't know what to... I don't like
but, I mean, what, the first one or the second one?
Doesn't like the
four.
First one.
Oh, the first one, yeah. What was your phase four again?
Saved by Father Cassidy and Uncle Lemon. Parents were victims of the Red Court vampire attack of 76.
Have you put anywhere about being an orphan as your aspect?
Adopted by the dead, phase one.
Mm.
Prone to ghost clutter, phase two. Help the dead rest my head and phase three and phase four. I see where you're going.
Because that's where you're orphaned.
Uh-huh.
Orphaned by monsters?
Ooh. That kind of gets everything in that.
Yeah.
Orphaned by monsters.
I mean, that way you can focus more on the orphan part of that. And yet it still ties in very descriptively to the phase.
Orphaned?
Orphaned by monsters.
I've never heard orphaned used as a verb.
But you haven't? Oh, yeah.
Oh, all the time.
Orphaned? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Orphaned. Oh, yeah, Bill backs me up and it's okay, but you just totally throw me out. All right, fine. Yeah. We see where it's going here. All right.
I got faith in Bill.
Well, that goes without saying. like we made Bill blush.
Orphans, you're quite sure. I'm not quite sure how to take that one, no.
Okay, so what haven't we done yet besides... Well, it's getting late, so we're not going to worry about skills and all that.
Skills and stress check charts or whatever that thing is.
To be honest, I haven't read over the stress track because every time I get in, I get bogged in aspects. So I will have that done, and I'll try and send some concise emails.
Start a...
take a look at the skills and see what you want
to
add. Try to email me. I don't need the whole characters. I need the aspects.
Start an obsidian portal and we'll create the characters.
Okay, I'll see what I can do. I will see what I can do.
He'd have to ascend to do that. You already got a campaign.
And you can't do more than one if you haven't ascended.
I think you can only do one when you...
Okay. I might have to ascend. Read over the skills.
Create a new account.
And, there's that too.
No, we're not going to screw over Obsidian Portal. It's not nice. They're good people.
Yes, they are.
All right, everyone, say goodnight.
Good night, gang.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay, so that's part one of character creation. These episodes are a little shorter, not because we spend less time recording. It's just that I edit out those long reading pauses and accompanying page flips. Now, don't forget, feedback goes to roy@rusackgamers.com or voicemail at 502-4141-RU. That's 502-4141-7666. Now, for legal reasons, I must remind you that you've been listening to an actual play podcast by the Rusack Gamers. This production is wholly owned by its creators and is distributed under the Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. The Dresden Files RPG is copyright Evil Hat Productions, but the Dresden Files itself is copyright Jim Butcher. Furthermore, this game is a work of fiction, with fictionalized and parodied versions of various Louisville landmarks and people. We know that there really isn't a vampire living at the Bat Factory, and there probably isn't something nefarious in the Mega Cavern. However, the factory tour is a lot of fun, and you can now ride a zip line in the Mega Cavern. Some things to think about for your next visit to Louisville.
And everyone, have a great time watching Avengers this weekend. We are all geeks, and we're all going to go out and spend a lot of money watching it. Have fun. Enjoy the movie.